We do have Jerry DePoto now joining us for his weekly appearance here on the Venue Kings Hotline. Jerry, we really appreciate you taking the time.
You got it, guys. Sorry I'm late.
Oh, no, no worries at all. Pretty exciting. A 21-13 start for the team. And we were just talking about all the differences that we've seen. And it seems like you guys have gotten contributions kind of across the board from your roster.
Yeah, it really has been a total team effort. You know, that anybody, anytime type mentality. And, you know, whether it's been the bullpen or the starters, the offense on a given night, sometimes it's manufacturing runs and sometimes it's hitting the ball out of the ballpark. We've found different ways to win games, which I think is, that's what good teams do. And you know, I think we have a good team here. We're pretty deep. We're clicking on all cylinders right now. And the guys believe. They believe in each other and they believe in what we're doing.
Hey, Jerry, I don't perceive you as being a big ego guy, but is it personally rewarding to see everything coming together the way you projected it when you were putting all these puzzle pieces together in the offseason?
Oh, sure. But, you know, you also take it with a grain of salt. You know that the season is long and we are going to have to make some adjustments along the way. It's right now, through this point in the season, I could not be happy with how it's gone. And, you know, of that, I'm proud. I'm proud of the guys. I'm proud of the staff. I'm proud of the front office and the people who've put it together. But, you know, don't want to get so busy slapping ourselves on the back that we forget that there's still a lot of season and we've got a lot of work left to do.
Hey, what's the best surprise for you, Jerry, this year? I'm going to give you two choices, Ketel Marte or the bullpen.
Boy. I'd say if I only had those two to choose from, I couldn't. I'd have to split it in half. Ketel's been great. And I think I've gone on record with Ketel as saying he's probably the player that I inherited that I knew the least about. And I just think his upside and his athleticism and what he does brings a different twist to the game. But, you know, the bullpen, in all fairness, whether it's been the quality of what Steve Cishek and Peralta and Vincent and Nuno and Ed Montgomery, every one of them, we've done it without five guys that on some level we were counting on. And, you know, I think we can only get better as a result when we get those guys back, you know, the Zicks and the Benoits and the Furbushes. And that bullpen has just been a lifesaver. And, you know, no pun intended, they've performed commensurate better than anybody in the league to this point, and they've done it shorthanded. And I think that we knew we were going to play close games, that that's how this team was built, and we needed that bullpen to be good, and they have delivered. So I know the free world was expecting it to be a little bit of a mishmash down there, and I think they've, at least for the time being, done a nice job of answering their critics. I'm proud of them.
Jerry DePoto was with us here, his weekly visit on Danny, Dave, and more. And Jerry, it's not like the power's a surprise. Robinson Cano, Nelson Cruz, Kyle Seager, all guys who have hit for power in the past, but you guys are fourth in the major leagues in home runs with 47, number two in the American League, only Baltimore with more. Has the power been a surprise for you at all, especially given kind of the park and its reputation here at Safeco Field?
Not really. I think we were built built a little bit more for the ballpark than many realize, especially with the left-hand power. And, you know, again, with the stars we had coming back, Robbie and Nelson, Kyle Seager, just to name three, those three guys, they've done that here. They've done it in this ballpark. You know, Kyle's, you know, improved his power numbers every year since he came to the big leagues, and he's a bona fide 25-30 homer guy. Robinson Cano has been a 30-homer guy in this league, and right now he's just on a phenomenal tear. And Nelson Cruz has been one of the premier power guys in the league for the last handful of years. And you couple that with a handful of guys, none of whom I think are exceeding their own skill sets. This is what they do. And, you know, to the point, you know, we've been pleasantly surprised with the performance of Daeho Lee, and he's done a great job. And, you know, Adam Lind has yet to get going. And when he gets going, that's another left-hand power bat that should fit nicely in our ballpark.
One of the guys who's been so much fun to root for, Daeho Lee, he has his fifth home run. He hits the opposite way. And then I hear he wasn't able to get Scott Service, though, to like kimchi. Were you there for the Korean food outing, or did you hear about it?
I heard about it the next morning. And, you know, I've known Scott for many years, and I know he's not, he's generally speaking, not the most exploratory eater. And, you know, when he told me he went out for Korean food with Daeho, first I thought it was hilarious. And then he filled me in on the fact that Daeho is Elvis when he walks into the restaurant. But not at all shocking to me that Scott wasn't biting on the kimchi, but anything's possible. Dejo keeps hitting like he's hitting. I'm sure Scott will have a kimchi IV.
That'd be spicy, man. That'd be very spicy.
Well, you brought up the possibility of Dejo Lee being a cult hero at some point. I mean, do you think we're at that point now? Every time I look at this guy, I'm going, man, that looks like anything but a baseball player, and yet he keeps delivering.
He's awesome, man. And it's legit. He's got a feel to hit, knows where the barrel of his bat is. He stays calm in the big situations, and he's shown a penchant for delivering at those times. And I think the one thing I keep reminding myself of with Dejo is that it's new to us, but it's not new to him. And, you know, his introduction to Major League Baseball is the newness of it is impressive to those who are watching who've been around MLB, particularly our club. But it is one of the more celebrated careers anybody's ever had in Asian baseball, whether Korea or Japan. And he's been a star in those leagues, and he's delivered in the big moments. He's been an MVP of a World Series. He's been an MVP of a league. He just hasn't done it in our league. And, you know, we were all wondering how it was going to go, and I don't think it could be going much better. And, you know, even what he's delivered against the right-handers, which has been the most pleasant surprise. We thought he would handle the lefties quite well. And he has, but what he's done against the righties has been a pleasant surprise. And as a result, he's finding more playing time.
Jerry, I'm curious what Edgar Martinez has meant to this team as the hitting coach. I was a little skeptical. I know he's the best DH right-handed hitter, best right-handed DH of all time. But I wonder, sometimes guys who are really good aren't necessarily the best coaches, but clearly that isn't the case here with Edgar Martinez.
No, and I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that Edgar was always a thinking man's hitter. A lot of the reason great players aren't often great coaches is they go out there and they just naturally do. You know, they throw their glove on the field, they pick up a bat, and they're just great at it. It's a natural action for them. And, you know, Edgar worked really hard at being a great hitter. And, you know, I won't say that the natural player or the guy who does it a little bit easier gets there when they're 19, 20 years old and throws up a Hall of Fame career. They work hard too, but Edgar had to find a way to beat the guy who was physically more talented or more athletic than he was. And he did it. And he did it for a long, long time. So, you know, that's the type of guy, generally speaking, that is able to translate as a coach because he's not telling them, do it as I did it. He's giving each of them a nugget from the way they approach hitting that can help them in their own skill set rather than trying to recreate them all in his image, which I think is a wonderful thing.
Hey, Jerry, if underperforming stats can be a positive, I guess, you know, I would look at like Kyle Seager. I mean, you're doing all this. You've got 21 wins. Kyle Seager, you know, he's got a ways to go to get up to his average. You got to feel like guys like him and Adam Lind, who's batting .213 right now, you got to feel like, man, we're winning 21 games, and these guys, they have to come back to their average. I mean, this is just a matter of time with those guys, right?
Oh, I think it is. And, you know, I'll use Kyle as an example. And, you know, Kyle's had a phenomenal two-week stretch where he's just been sizzling hot. And, you know, he was in a pretty big hole right out of the chute. I think he was down hitting in the 130s, and the on-base was low, and the power was still there. He was finding a way to hit some balls out of the park. But, you know, when you're as talented and as comfortable in what you do as he is, sooner or later the dam will break, and when the water starts to flow, we saw Kyle Seager jump from roughly a 500 OPS to an 800 OPS in 2 weeks. And he did that while he already was somewhere in the neighborhood of 80 or 90 plate appearances. So that's how quickly it can happen with guys that are this talented. And, you know, I've said it about Adam Lind, that, you know, Adam has really struggled and has not swung the bat well. But Adam has spent the last 3 years as one of the 10 best hitters in the league by OPS against right-hand pitching. Sure, he's going to get it going. Hope it's tomorrow night. If not, I do believe that once the dam breaks, it will really break. And we have some others on the roster that are like that, which, you know, when you've got a team that's winning and the contributions are coming from all over, it protects you against the two guys in your lineup that might not be going. That's what team is about. You pick them up when they're in need, and there's going to be a time where they're picking us up.
Jerry DePoto is with us. And last thing for you, Jerry, is Taiwan Walker's had such a great start to his season, and he certainly had a great start the other night. I was wondering from your perspective what he can learn from what happened kind of in the sixth inning where it looked like he kind of just lost his feel a little bit. So good, so dominant the first five innings, and then in that sixth, what's the next step for him as a pitcher?
Well, I think it's game management, you know, and at Taiwan, the first five innings of that game, as you know, along with maybe what we saw at Nate Carnes down in Houston, what we saw Taiwan here at home against Houston, you know, when you see young guys pitching like that, and I don't even mean pitching, using their pitches, commanding the ball, and just dominating opponents, that's fun to watch. And that was Taiwan for the first five innings yesterday. And you know, we'd built up the four-run lead, and we were moving into the sixth inning with one out and a man on second, and we let the game get away from us. And I think, you know, game management means something. And having spent my life as a reliever and knowing how those guys think when they come into a game, you know, you have to acclimate yourself or get comfortable with the idea that the guy on second in the sixth inning when you're up by four probably isn't that big a deal. And you know, if that run scores, no harm, no foul. We just got to the seventh inning with a 4-1 lead and a good bullpen. But you know, those are things you learn with time. And you know, as that inning unfolded, you could kind of see it gaining steam with the back-to-back walks to Miller and Longoria on breaking balls. When you do have a little bit of a cushion there, and you know, It happens. It happens on a regular basis, and my guess is that the next step for Taiwan is just, you know, stepping off and taking a breath and putting that one to sleep, because his stuff yesterday, his command and his approach were so good. I mean, he had no hitter type stuff yesterday, and you know, unfortunately, we weren't able to get him out of there with a win. But like we were just talking about with the offensive players, Taiwan Walker is going to pick us up a whole lot as the season goes along. And thankfully, yesterday, he was at least able to get us deep into the sixth inning so that we could take a tired bullpen and run him out there in the order that we wanted.
And you did, and you get another extra innings win. This team 5-1 in extra innings, 21-13 overall. Jerry, thank you so much for joining us. It's going to be a great weekend out there at the park. The Angels in town. This is going to be a blast. We really appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, anytime, guys. Look forward to it next time.